How's it going? How you been?
Let's get started.
What's scrapping?
Yo, yo.
Tuned in to Aljo the Funk Master. Watch your grill, you'll get knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. Where the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet, fuck a name and a fame. Only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling.
It ain't shit,
motherfucker.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps. Man, great fight card this past weekend. And honestly, this podcast episode is going to be pretty short. I'm exhausted. I don't know if you guys realize, but I am training for a pretty big fight right now. Just got back from training and I'm a little tired. I'm a little beat up. I'm trying to keep the high energy, but it's not as easy as it may seem all the time. And I want to make sure I put something out for you guys. Siddiq, what's up? You just wake up.
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, so UFC 258, great fight card, great performances. I'm just getting home from training with the guys. We took Eric's class, Eric Nixick, over at Extreme Couture, 9 a.m. class on Monday. And it was a good session, good drill session. My arms were a little bit more sore than I expected it to be from over the weekend. Really shocked about that. I thought Sunday would have been enough time to kind of recover from Saturday's hard sparring session with the mixing drills of kind of like a puke drill simulator. So with that being said, today was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And I got another session later tonight. So after this, I'm going to try to get this edited, post it up, and then I'm going to be looking to either hit a hard session or I might just jump in the ice bath and call it a day. So I really don't know right now. It just really depends on how I'm feeling later on. Because I want to make sure I'm getting the most out of my training sessions and not grinding my body too much into the ground. So let's get into it real quick. Usman versus Burns. Crazy fight. I thought it delivered in comparison to people's criticisms of Usman, talking about like he's not an excited fighter, he could be pretty boring. I won't lie, I kind of was on the fence about that, as like his performances are kind of hit or miss. You really never know. And I used to be in that same boat. I would say my past few performances have gotten like better and better and better in terms of activity. I think Usman was in that category. Now you have the, what would you call it? Kobe Covington. You had that performance, which turned out to be an entire stand-up fight, which was super exciting. Then you had the Masvidal fight, which had its moments, but it had its moments because of Masvidal. He did outstrike Jorge, but that's because he had him against the cage, a lot of all that stuff. But either way, dominant performance from him over Masvidal, who's an elite striker. And then this performance over Gilbert Burns, who looked phenomenal. And he talked about it. He said training sessions used to go the same exact way. He said pretty much Gilbert Burns would land a hard strike like that, and then kind of just weather the storm and then go the other way in terms of his favor. And that was pretty much what we saw. So now looking back in hindsight, I could kind of see why Gilbert Burns wanted his shot at Usman, knowing that he's probably heard him in training before and thinking that, you know, if this was a fight, I could probably take him out, and probably looking at training sessions from that lens instead of how can I help my partner. And obviously I'm not taking a dig at Gilbert, but it's just one of those situations where I understand both guys' side. I understand Usman, he was the one who brought the belt down to Sanford, and for them to kind of, he decided to leave. I don't know what that situation was like, but he left. Gilbert Burns was the one to try to get back the title and bring it back to Florida for those guys, but unfortunately came up short, had Usman hurt early in the first round. Somehow, I can't remember exactly how, but Burns ended up on his back. And from that position, while he was on his back, Usman did the right thing, just kicking his legs over and over and over again, eating clock, recovering, fight IQ. All these things show how high his level of his fight IQ is. You heard Herb say, if you want the position, like show me something, or work if you want to have it, like keep the position or something like that. And Usman did just enough to kind of keep Herb off of him and still keep the fight while Burns was on his back, racking up time against the clock and at the same time doing some damage to the legs of Gilbert Burns. And then in that second round, we kind of see the tables get flipped a bit, where now Burns is rocked and gets dropped, gets hurt with a jab, dropped with a jab, actually. You see Usman starting to put it together, starting to find his timing more. Burns coming after him, but him staying a little bit more composed under the pressure of Gilbert Burns. And that says a lot about the development of Usman, in my opinion. It shows how technical he's gotten in the striking, shows how comfortable he's getting within his own skin with being under duress and also being offensive with his striking. I like to say Trevor Whitman probably helped him pinpoint that, hey man, you have long arms. This is an asset. You're strong, you're powerful. Let's use this jab as a piston. And that's what it looked like a piston-like jab over and over and over, hitting Burns constantly. And it busted him up pretty good to the point where it had him rocked and looked like he was about to get him out of there from that jab. He recovered, and then eventually Usman was able to port on it and get the finish and stop the fight. So great performance from Usman. I think he broke GSP's record, they're saying, with 13 straight wins at the welterweight division. Phenomenal. That's a record that's going to be extremely hard for anybody to beat at this point. The closest guys you could say would have been like a John Jones or a Khabib. But Khabib is no longer fighting. And then you have John Jones, who's going to have his hands full going up to the heavyweight division. Now, with that being said, John Jones still, I think, has a pretty long win streak. Probably might be longer than Usman's. Just not at the welterweight division. But again, congrats to Usman. Like you said, put some respect on his name. I will say, I like Usman. I'm a fan of his. I've never been like, let's point out the ones like RDA, a Damian Maya, the Jorge Masvidal one, and there was another one, the Tyron Woodley one. Like, those performances are stellar, the dominant, most dominant guy, barely lost a round to anybody. But I don't know if I could say those are fights that I can go back and rewatch over and over and over again. It's not like a Max Holloway. I'm not saying I have performances like that where it's like, oh, I can't wait to watch an Aljamain Sterling fight again because of X, Y, and Z. I've had a couple of performances in there where you're like, holy shit, I got to watch that. Those type of performances. For Usman, it might be a little bit different. But when he is fighting, I am a fan. I want to watch him fight because I think what he does is special in terms of how well he can dominate these guys, sometimes looking like he's not even breaking a sweat. Making sure my chain is not on my mic again, because that would just be sad at this point to keep doing that. I don't know where Gilbert Burns goes from here. I did sense a little subtle jab from Usman when he was posting the pictures of him and Burns saying, like, you deserve to be in there with me. You are the next best guy. It's like a backhanded compliment. I get it, you know, kind of taking a little dig, but at the same time, giving the praise for a former teammate who eventually became his foe. And then I had people asking me, like, what would you do if you had to fight Marab? I'm like, we're not fighting. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. We're not fighting. There's so many other guys we can both fight. So it's not hard to figure out. So one of the things one of my other teammates was saying that Burns learned a lesson. And it's a tough one. It's a tough situation because obviously Burns wants something that Usman has. These guys' kids played with each other. They're family friends. They're probably over for each other's events. And then they go to try to fight each other. It's just kind of, I think it changes the dynamic of the relationship a ton. Like, complete 180. But obviously, there's still love for those guys. Next up, I don't know what's up for Usman next, but I can see a Wonder Boy, a Leon Edwards rematch, or even a Kobe Covington rematch, or even a Jorge Masvidal rematch. So there's a couple of fights for him in the wings right now that look very, very enticing and could be fun fights for him. Gilbert Burns, I'm not really sure where he goes from here, but obviously, he's only had about 3 or 4 fights at the welterweight division, so there's a lot of potential matchups he can have and a lot of fun fights for him as well to try to get back to that spot. Or maybe he goes back down to 55? I don't know. I don't think he can even make it anymore. The guy's huge. I don't know how he made it to begin with. Next up, Alexa Grasso. I thought she looked great. Now, Also, Macy Barber, I thought she looked great too. She had her moments where she was putting together a combination that just looked like she's been putting in a lot of work and a lot of time into her striking, but she ran into a seasoned striker and someone who's been putting some time into their ground game as well, and Alexa Grasso. And in that third round, she showed her grit where she bit down on her mouthpiece and she was trying to get Alexa Grasso out of there. But Grasso did a good job of neutralizing that and not taking too much damage where she could have fell behind or potentially got hurt to the point where the ref could have stepped in and stopped the fight. So great performances from both of them. I want to see where Alexa Grasso goes from here. She has a pretty good record now, 13-3. Within the UFC, she's won her last two. She lost to Carla Esparza, majority decision. She beat Carolina Kowalczyk, who had a title shot. Carla Esparza had a title shot. She lost to Tatiana Suarez, who should be getting a title shot next, but I don't know what's going to happen with her. Yeah, she's been out for a while. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Next up, Kelvin Gastelum versus Ian Heinsius. I think Gastelum showed that he still belongs in the top echelon of that division. He was pretty much fighting for his job, I would say. Ian did some great things. People were talking about the Granby role, asking me to break that down. Now, in college and high school wrestling, just wrestling in general in the States, you're not allowed to lock your hands around the body unless your opponent is standing. So when they're on the mat, we do this thing called spiral ride where this left hand is under their left arm and driving it out at an angle, like corkscrewing. And this right hand is in the crotch or at the knee, pulling and prying in another corkscrew motion. So you're circling them down flat, trying to flatten them out and get them flat on the belly so you can break them down and grab a wrist and start to put the handles and the boots in or whatever. Boots in are just hooks or legs. In the Granby situation, Heinsius does a good job with this, doing it on the feet all the time. And I think the one he hit actually was on the ground. When the hands are locked, it makes it very difficult to flip and roll because the guy can just step up and he can just bike down on the hip. So if I know you're looking to roll, I can take my elbow and clamp down and stop you from rolling and kind of stuff you right on your neck where you kind of just get stuck there. And then it's like you did a roll and you kind of crunch your own neck and you just kind of went flat. With a standing Granby, it's a little bit easier because you can block the legs. You can run forward. As you're running forward, you can tuck your shoulder and roll through. And it makes it hard where all your body weight plus the gravity for you to try to hold on to that lock while the guy's falling forward makes it extremely difficult. And I think that's why Ian has a lot of success with that, because he's so strong and explosive when he does hit it. I think it's very, very tough for people to hold on in those situations. He looked good. I thought he did some good stuff. I thought he would have been a little bit more offensive with his wrestling compared to Kelvin Gastelum using his wrestling and having more success with his. I thought Kelvin would have been looking to keep it standing more, and it was actually the vice versa. But Kelvin did a good job of just mixing it up all together, grappling, wrestling, the striking, the kicks, everything he did just a little bit better or a lot better than Ian Heinsius, and that, to me, was the reason he was able to get his hand raised and keep his spot within that rankings. Now, Heinsius, tough dude, man, but 32 years old. His last win was over Gerald Mershot, and before that, he lost 2 to Omari Akhmedov and Derek Brunson. So that one would have been his big breakout party to get him back in, like the other ones were just a funk. And he showed that he can compete with those guys in the top echelon of that division as well. He still can. He looked good. He didn't look like he got beaten up to the point where it's like, oh man, that was terrible. But he competed. But Kelvin just competed a little bit better, in my opinion. And that snapped a huge win for Kelvin. I think he was on a losing streak for... Kelvin's only 28 years old. It says 29 here. But he lost 3 fights in a row. The last time he won was Jacare Souza in 2018 in May. It's a long time ago. And it was a split decision. Now, this next one, Ricky Simone versus Brian Kelleher. Business is booming, as Kelleher always says. Ends up faltering in this one. I don't know if Kelleher was just looking. This was a catchweight at 145. I don't know if Kelleher was just looking for an opportunity to catch a guillotine the entire time, or if he actually had, like, answers. It just seemed like Ricky Simon had all the answers for Kelleher's guillotines, powering through on his blast doubles, all those type of situations. Anytime Kelleher looked like he got a bite of the head, Simon would just dump him and he would stay high. Instead of him going to the ground with Kelleher, giving Kelleher an opportunity to latch onto the neck, he would just dump him. So when you run that double, as you run, you hit the ground, you stay up, and with the gravity, you fall off, you're trying to hold on. If you don't have a good enough bite, you're gonna fall and slip off the top, as opposed to them going to the ground with you where you can hit the ground and kind of hit a quick reset and then cinch that guillotine up just a little bit better. Simone looked good. I call the prediction. I think Kelleher might just catch a weird guillotine at a weird angle, which is what he always does. In training, I have to always respect it whenever we work together because he's so good in that position. I don't even play around with it, especially with my neck being all jacked up. Like, I just don't even want to have my neck cranked on in training. I'd rather save it for the fight. So I called that, and then Simone somehow found my tweet of all people, and he's quoted it. He said, Brian is dope. He said 90% chance of that happening. And then he said, Brian is dope though, but it's time for me to put some respect on his grappling. And I said, respect earned, man. That was honestly a very impressive performance for him to take Kelleher down over and over and over again like that. I told him, Rob, he was trying to catch your record. He's trying to catch your record right now. And obviously just joking, but yeah. So that was actually at 145. So I don't even know if they would even count that as bantamweight because they didn't count my win over Henry Burrell as bantamweight, even though it was a catchweight at 145. And it was slated for 135, but whatever. Julian Marquez versus Maki Pitolo. This was a crazy fight. Pitolo came out guns blazing that first round. Looked like he was about to get Marquez out of there. Both guys, super nice dudes. That's one thing I have to say right off the bat. Marquez weathered the early storm, came back, was finding success with threatening offensive wrestling attacks from Maki with guillotines. Getting back up with the guillotine attempt or stopping the takedowns with the guillotine attempt or just kind of resetting the position where Maki would get in deep for a shot and cause Maki to kind of just back out and just let go of the takedown altogether because the threat of the guillotine was there. I feel like Maki sometimes, he gets into those guillotine situations and I think he kind of panics a little bit not knowing his limits of how far he can go with a choke being on him. And I think until he gets in there and he works on those chokes and kind of just sees how long he can breathe, how much work he can do, and maybe it's like a claustrophobic thing, because some people are like that, where it's like if you put your hands around the neck or you get too close, they kind of feel like the walls are closing in and they kind of freak out. That's what it kind of looks like to me. Because some of those chokes, I'm like, yo, that's not even... It's on, but it's not on. Like, you can fight through that if you just take your time and kind of troubleshoot through the situation. But it just seems like he kind of panics and lets go of the situation a little too easily in terms of, like, a takedown or rolling through, giving up a situation where he has a takedown clean, but he'll roll through and let it go and bail altogether because of the fear of the guillotine. I know he lost that one fight to, I believe, Darren Stewart, where he got caught. He looked great. And he was dominating that fight and then got caught in a guillotine. So that's three in a row for him. I know he just moved here from Hawaii, so I feel for him, man. Came in off the Ultimate Fighter, looked phenomenal. And he brings the heat. I just, you know, I hope he gets one more shot. He's a fan favorite. I think he brings it all the time. And it'll just be good to keep him around. I think a couple little things for him to fix, and I think he can really make some noise in this division again. And also, he is very, very undersized for this division. At 185, he doesn't look... His legs are massive, his quads. But it doesn't look like he cuts that much weight. But I wouldn't know. I don't ask him what he weighs. He trains here at Extreme Couture now, too. So, yeah. Great dude. Like I said, Julian Marquez, also another great dude. I've hung out with him before at Top Golf out here in Vegas. And he went back to Kansas City, where he's from. Shout out to him for getting Miley Cyrus as his Valentine. I don't know how crazy that actually went, but that was a great Hail Mary card, and it worked. It looked like it worked, so congrats to him. And real quick, shout out to the sponsors at Everlast. Thank you guys for always holding it down for the podcast, as well as sleepybear.com. Go check those guys out. It is for CBD with CBN, and it has melatonin in it. sleepybears.com. Use my discount code FUNKMASTER for 20% off. Tell them I sent you. The next fight, Anthony Hernandez getting a big upset over Rodolfo Vieira. Crazy. Vieira always comes out guns blazing. Looks like he's about to finish the fight and makes the fight harder than it needs to be. I don't know why, but he just empties the gas tank in this ridiculous manner. The guy's built like a human specimen. The guy is a statue. He's a brick shithouse. And somehow, some way, he always manages to get into these dogfights. The one fight he had his eye pretty much closed shut, somehow gets the submission. I'm like, dude, these fights could be a lot easier if you just work on the gas tank a little bit and kind of energy management, I think, could go a long way for him. For him to get submitted by a guy like this, obviously it's not a jiu-jitsu match. It's a fist fight, so different things could happen. But it was very shocking that Hernandez kept going for the guillotine to finish him. Now, he went for the takedowns, couldn't get it, and then he hurt him. He hurt him bad. He had him mounted, almost had him in an arm triangle, eventually gets out Anthony Hernandez and starts to put the beats on Vieira. Vieira tries to weather the storm, survives round one, eventually in round two gets caught after being hurt again, getting all his takedown stuffed and attack after attack, and eventually he got a hold of his neck and was able to make Vieira tap, kind of just via exhaustion. Now, this other one, Chris Gutierrez versus Andre Yule. This was a weird one for me because Andre Yule has really long arms for 135. This was catchweight at 140, but they're both bantamweights. You're fighting a guy who had two fights pretty much stopped via leg kicks. How do you come into this fight not looking to wrestle to neutralize the range on the kicks, stay ready to check a kick, or even just stay outside far enough so that you don't get kicked at all and maybe kicking first before you get kicked? I don't know. It was kind of odd because he looked great that first round until he didn't, where he got clipped. I think he got dropped and then things started to change and kind of go downhill from there. Gutierrez was smart, taking his time. His coaches were calling for more volume, but he took his time, kind of waited. He's like, I don't want to rush in. The guy's got long arms. He can extend his left cross from a mile away and catch guys. So kudos to him just having the fight IQ of knowing like when to open up and kind of realize it's a marathon, not a sprint. I need to chip away, chip away, chip away. And eventually he got Yule in the spot where he could really lay on some big damage. And good thing he was able to get that first round. And I think he won all three rounds, to be honest. And he looked good doing it. And the last one, Gabe Green, he did a good job neutralizing Phillips Rose's reach as well. The same thing, a guy with a lot of leg kicks. And again, for me, it's just if I know I'm going into a fight with a guy who's stopped opponents with leg kicks or his tape, he throws a lot of leg kicks, that's something we have to address. Even if as I can check one and make you not throw that many, or I can work my takedowns, or even if it's clinch work, something to change it up. Now, we got this next card this weekend. There's a lot of fights on here, honestly. I'm tired. I'm just going to call it what it is. But there's some fun fights on here. Sabatini's fighting. Oh, Pat Sabatini got signed to UFC. And this is a guy who James Gonzalez just beat from our gym. Pretty much mangled his entire arm. They came back and won two fights. And he got signed. And this just shows you how close you can get signed to the UFC, how close you can be. James ended up losing his next fight. Had he had won that one, this could have honestly been him getting into the UFC right now. It's kind of crazy. It just really puts things into perspective of what you need to do to get yourself in the right position to get the call up to the big show. So shout out to Pat Sabatini, East Coast fighter, 13-3. He's got a tough test in Rafael Alves coming up, and that should be a good one. Then we got Ayman Zahabi, he's fighting at 135. Draco Rodriguez. Chaz Skelly is back finally. He's fighting Jamal Emmers. Emmers is a tough dude. He's one of the only other guys to beat Corey Sanhagen, I believe. Yes, at LFA a couple years back. Shayna Dobson, she's fighting Casey O'Neill. Oh, Casey. She's 5-0. She trains at the gym here at Extreme. But what flag is this? Her name is King, Scottish. She's Scottish. King Casey. Okay. That's different. I thought it would have been Queen. But all right. Julian Erosa taking on Nate Landwehr. That should be a fun fight. Nate Landwehr is just like a zombie. Eddie Wineland taking on John Castaneda. That should be a good one. Luis Pena taking on Jakar Klaus. Jared Gordon versus Danny Chavez. Andre Arlovski versus Tom Aspinall. There's a lot of good fights on this card. Imovov versus Phil Hall. Hawes. Chris Dawkins. Alexei Olenek. Derek Minor taking on Charles Rosa. So there's some good ones. Vieira taking on Kunitskaya. And Derek Lewis, obviously the main event, taking on Curtis Blaydes. This one should be a fun fight card. Coming up close, obviously, to my fight. So obviously right now, the main focus is my weight cut, making sure I stay sharp, stay healthy, and just trying to keep up the cardio the best way I can. I got a tough one tonight. Gonna do a little bit of a Shark Tank. I might make it a little bit easier today, though, just so I can give my body more time to recover. We'll see how I feel. We'll see how I wake up and see if I'm mentally prepared so that I can be focused the entire time and not get hurt because I'm doing things half-assed, you know? So it's gotta be a little bit of a balance. And some people are asking for a request for me to document my weight cut, like I did for previous fights before. If I can get someone who can help me edit it, I'll try to do the self-vlogging and send over the footage to somebody and have them do the edit for me, maybe like a 4-minute segment so that people can watch and tune in and see what I'm doing and follow along with what I'm doing for my weight cut. Obviously, it's different because the weight doesn't stay off unless I keep up that diet. A lot of it's going to be water weight the last week, but it's still a good thing to try to practice if you want to shave off some pounds and if you're making the effort to get into the gym as well. You can't just do the food. The food is a big part of it, but you have to do a little bit more getting into the gym. That's going to be the big bonus push. Diet is everything. 100%. You can lose a couple pounds naturally with just changing your diet, but you add in the workouts here and there, you sprinkle those in, good things can happen for you. As always, guys, if you like the podcast, hit the like button, subscribe, drop a comment below. Obviously, like I said, I'm tired. I'm going to try to get back to as many of you guys as I can. But stay tuned. Thank you guys for the love. And check out the content on my IG page. I just posted a couple of clips from sparring. Very short clips. Sometimes with a hammer. Sometimes with a nail. But when you're going with fresh partners who are pushing you every single round, it makes for fireworks. And I think it's going to make sure my gas tank is pushed to a point of we left no stones unturned. As always, if you like my shit, subscribe to my shit. We'll spin it back, fish, baby. See you guys later. Peace.
That's the show. You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.